Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, broadcasting live here in Columbus, Ohio. And I'll bring on one of my co-hosts here with me here in a second. And hopefully they are tuned in. I think David Tucros is with us.
Yes, I am.
What's up, brother? What's going on?
Not a lot. Just hanging out here on the other side of town. And I guess it's just you've got 2 out of 3 hosts tonight.
That's right. We're the host is with the most, like they say, right?
That's right, yeah. Katie is hopefully listening in, but she's doing other things or, you know, is out there, you know, making the world safe for shamans and other folks.
Yep, I agree. Totally agree. She's doing something.
Yeah.
I know we've been pretty busy the last few days, so yesterday we had a pretty amazing drumming.
Yeah, we did. We did yesterday. But before that, you guys went on a little walk in Whetstone Park on Saturday.
Yeah, that was just like a little rest, you know, real small walk. It wasn't anything crazy. It was nice, though. It was pretty nice.
Were you looking for anything in particular while you guys were out there? Was there a reason why you guys went there? Or?
No, I was just, you know, we just decided we're going to walk through here and just kind of have a good time with it and enjoy it. Mary kind of wanted to go on a walk, and I was kind of like not feeling well, and I figured, well, maybe I need to walk, you know. So it was nice to get out and just enjoy, enjoy what's going on around me, you know. And I didn't want to go really far, and it was snowed, and so we got to see little things, got to play a little bit, got to hear a woodpecker kept following us around, which was really cool. I really enjoyed that. He or she was just going from tree to tree as we were traveling through the woods there, the ravine. We were going through the ravine. So it was really nice. Real nice.
It's a different world out there in the wintertime than it is in the summer. We're used to being there in the summer and fall with our drumming and, you know, the gathering of 1,000 drummers and so on. But, you get a different landscape or a different feel to the world when it's wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's real different. We're used to going to these really big big parks, but it was nice to go, you know, to our little neighborhood park and just explore it and check it out and see where the animals have been through. Because in the snow, you can see the patterns and the trails that the animals leave behind, especially the dogs.
Right.
You know, they just kind of lift their hind legs up and just spray things around. So we saw a lot of yellow snow. And then the paw prints and the deer prints and then, you know, whatever other small animals were scurrying through there. And then there was a couple places where the pond, not the pond, but the little creeks were frozen. We didn't really get on them because we weren't sure if it was strong enough to hold us or not. But, yeah, it was fun.
Right. You know, for us, it's a place to go and connect with nature. But for them, it's their home. It's, you know, they live there 24/7. It must have a different kind of a feel to them than it does to us because we're kind of visiting or, you know, we come at a much different perspective than they do. They're like, hey, well, you know, I'm just looking for my next meal or, you know, this is my territory. And, you know, it's different to kind of think of it like that, I think, to see the world through their eyes.
Right. Most definitely. I was thinking about that, too. Now that you brought that up, I was kind of came to my mind is, you know, for them, it's like an everyday thing that they do. And for us, it's kind of like a visit. And I was wondering, could I live like that? Could I live from tree to tree or burrow to burrow and just kind of just doing your thing and not next day you're going to be hunted or be the hunted or, or the hunter, you know?
Hunter,
not sure about
that's
but,
right.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, that's true, you know, and that's just, I guess that's the rhythm that they have to fall into because, they live from moment to moment and, just take whatever comes along. there's a kind of a freedom in that, you know, because we are all, you know, we're worried about this, or we're saving up for that, or, you know, we've got this plan here and this plan there. The animals just go with the flow, you know. They do what they're directed to by spirit, I guess you could say, Mother Nature. So.
Yeah, and I think they are similar in some regards. I mean, they do have to plan at some level. I mean, but it's more like a natural calling versus, you know, something that we want to accumulate. I mean, they gather nuts or store food because they know the winter's coming. There's like a program in their system. But they only take what they need, so it's not like they just take, you know, as far as my understanding is.
Yeah. Right. They're not going to sell it. They're not going to sell it to another animal or anything like that. You know?
Yeah, hey, chipmunk. Buddy. Hey, I got some nuts for you. That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
That's right.
Hey, buddy, I got some nuts here. That's funny.
Hey, over here. Yeah. So, but we had a wonderful drumming yesterday. That was very powerful. We drummed at Kohlbacher House at Ohio Health. It's a hospice house for people who are transitioning and their relatives. People in various stages of that process were there in that facility, and we were invited. This is the second time we've gone there. Hopefully it's going to be a more regular thing, but we're doing it quarterly this year. So this is our first drumming of the year, and oh my gosh, you know, it was just a very powerful thing to experience.
Yeah, it was, we've done that before. That was like our second drumming. And we did the first one outdoors before, you know, the winter came. And then we did this one indoors because, of course, it's winter time. But each one had its own unique flavor, its own unique style. And like you said, it is a hospice type. I don't know how I want to word this properly. But it's for people who are either grieving or have had loss, or people who are getting ready to see one of their family members transition. I guess that's what hospice means, but regardless, I mean, some people who come there also don't have that type of grieving. You know, there's another type. They've had other types of loss, you know, that affects their lives where they can't function. So I found it was really very moving and very powerful. And I know they have enough grief in their life. And I think when we go there, our intention is not to pour on more grieving and go, hey, well, you know, it's too bad, you know, that this is happening. We don't discount that. We don't discount that there's loss, because we do address that within our drumming, the drumming circle. But I reassure them it's for fun. You reassure them, Katie reassures them that, you know, this is something that we're doing in order for all of us to heal together. Because we all have, loss is loss, regardless if it's a person or, you know, an animal or whatever. You know, it still hurts you. It affects you. And so the drumming is just
absolutely
a beautiful thing to just, you know, cascade through the circle and just let go of things.
You're right. It was very connecting for us, and it never ceases. It shouldn't amaze me, but it does never cease to amaze me how people open up with the drumming. It just allows their emotions to come out freely, and it shakes things up inside of us, you know. And for some people, they probably needed to have a little bit of release, a little more, you know, just opening up. But And that's, like you say, it was also very joyful, too. There was fun and joy and just the excitement of being alive and living, too. You know, that's part of it too, is, you know, we don't want to just focus on the fact that someone is gone or is leaving us. It's what that person, it means to us, and all the memories and the good times and the joy of life, you know, that, like you and I believe, you know, that this is not the end of life when we leave this life, so... we continue on, however you want to believe that, but we do. I do believe that energy continues on, our love continues on, and our consciousness in some form or another continues on too. So we have a little time here. You know, it's a good reminder that life is sometimes seems very long, and we can get bored. But life is pretty brief, and we should be finding ways to appreciate it and appreciate each other while we're here.
Right. Absolutely. But it feels, the feelings are real, you know, when you're in that position, when you're in that moment, regardless of how magical we know it's going to be. You know, those memories that we've collected with people and forged together is, you know, really what we're missing. We're missing that we're not going to be able to share with them what we wanted to share, what we did get to share with them. And I think we're just, I think that's the huge part of the grieving process is, you know, letting go of somebody to know that they're actually not going to be with us in that capacity, physical capacity.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
That's,
you know,
I know.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's something that we all face at one time or another. And, you know, if I haven't faced a lot of it yet, I will in the future. And it's, you know, it's probably one of those things that we can talk about, but until you go through it, until you feel it yourself, you really are just kind of maybe holding someone's hand or patting them on the shoulder. You can't really step in their shoes.
Uh-huh.
And so we're there for support. You know, we're just there to be what we need to be for those folks while they're going through that. But it was a very interesting experience, too, because there was a young boy there who was just very involved in it, what we were doing. He was speaking up. He was, you know, he seemed to really get it. And that kind of, and to have the young kids there, too, was very encouraging to me about the future, you know, because it's not just about seeing the past and, you know, people fade away and the memories of the past and everything. It's about the joy of the future, the hope of the future, too. So I was happy to see that there were young kids involved, too, and they've got their own grief to process as well. So,
sure.
You know, we've been involved in that kind of situation with that Marmon Farms, you know,
Marmon Valley
Farms, but out there. Yeah, Marmon Valley Farms out there that they have their Camp Hope. So, you know,
yeah.
It's,
I was really.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just kind of telling on what you were saying. It was really cool to be in the presence of little kids because I wasn't really expecting little kids to be there. Usually, you know, you think it's just adults, but, you know, we also work, like you said, we worked with kids. We work with kids and grieving,
right.
You know, loss with the drum and stuff. And, you know, They kids process way different than adults do. Way different.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that
they
sometimes
they don't do it on
they
don't do it on a schedule. They don't do it like they're expected to.
Right.
They, you know, they do it in bits and pieces and in their own pace.
And that's the way it should be. And that little boy was kept mirroring everything I was saying. It was funny, like he was as soon as I was going to say something, he was already saying it. It was just really comical. I was laughing. I was like, here we go. I've got a shaman amongst us.
That's right. You know, and he came up to me. I had my books for sale there, too, and he came up to me at the end of the drumming. He said, you know what, I'd buy one of your books if I could, but I don't have the money. I said, look, I want to give you a book because you are teaching me today, you know, and I just want to encourage you. And in the book I wrote, you know, thank you for being you and keep on being the hope of the future. So I really felt like I was kind of passing on my words and my gift to the next generation in that moment. So it was very powerful for me.
Yeah, it was amazing because they were just like it was perfect. It was perfect because other little kids came in too, you know, and they saw his interaction, and so they felt safe, you know. So it was like that was cool, you know, and so I felt safe. I felt good. I felt like okay, we can play a little bit. Kids teach us to play. Kids teach us to, you know, be a little, to lighten up a little bit. And then I saw one of our oldest members who was in the circle, Margaret, those were her grandkids. And I hadn't seen her in like almost 5 years. And it was great to see her, you know, it was just like, boom, there she was. I'm like, hey, Margaret, what are you doing? She's like, and she's going through some grieving process too. You know, her daughter had a loss and I'm assuming the children were probably his father or some sort, you know, there was some kind of loss somewhere in the family. And so, you know, the universe brings you back and around in this circle and brings you back to connect with certain people. And it's kind of amazing because that's kind of what we're going to do tonight here a little bit later on at the bottom of the hour, 6:30. My friend Corey Brackett's going to call in from Sweet Remedies Radio. She's one of the guests there. But she's written some books about, you know, just what's going on in the world, you know, about GMOs, the aspartame effect and all the different things. She'll text me back at my Facebook page and let me know what her number is so I can recognize it here on the switchboard because there's like a whole bunch of numbers on here. So I can't quite pick out which one she is. So she's listening. Iggy's saying, give me a little message on Facebook or text me. so I can kind of know who you are. But yeah, she'll share with us. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm looking forward to it, too. That's
yeah.
important to talk about the, you know, what we put into our bodies and how our bodies work. And because we are really chemical factories, and we exist on a number of levels, but certainly, you know, what we put in our bodies makes us who we are. And when we eat without thinking about it or without being aware, you know, we fall into all kinds of health issues and psychological issues. And, you know, it has a broad ranging effect on our entire mind, body, spirit when we don't nourish ourselves correctly. You know, in the body too, you know, we here in the spiritual community, we tend to think, you know, mainly about the higher, loftier things, you know, and ascension and, you know, the chakras and all that, you know, but the body is very much a part of it too, you know, that we just have to take good nutritional health, you know, take good nutritional care of ourselves for our health. And it's something that I think some more of us are waking up to, but I have to admit, sometimes I just grab whatever I can, you know, because I'm rushed here or, you know, I've got this going on and I don't have time to plan out my meals like I'd like to. So I try to do better, but, you know, we live in a modern world and sometimes we just got to grab what we can.
Yeah, unfortunately, hopefully we will grab things that are better for us. But, you know, that's something we have to learn along the way. Sometimes you have to get to the point where we get sick to realize, you know, hey, you know what? That's not helping us. And, you know,
right.
The three of us are all Nemenha ministers, medicine people. And so our fivefold mission is, you know, like we always try to promote in the work we do is, you know, number one, healing the individual, healing families, healing the communities, healing society, and healing the planet. I mean, that's one of our, you know, our mission statements as Nemenha. And, you know, we hold that close to our heart because that's everything. That's part of everything. We're part of all those things.
Very much so, yeah, very much so. And, you know, speaking about how your body can give you signals, it kind of reminds me of what happened to me as I was, you know, going through my 40s into my 50s, you know, and I really came to a point where, this is before I even met you, where I was feeling very bad. I just, you know, I was getting these sweats at night. I would get really you know, real, real night sweats and get dizzy and I would have headaches for days and I didn't know what was going on. I'd be depressed and I didn't know what was happening, you know, and it came to the point where I was actually having episodes of passing out. And so finally I went to the doctor and I was told that what I was experiencing was the result of something that could be triggered by the way my body processes certain carbohydrates and other foods. Such as, you know, well, wheat, corn, rice, soy, barley, you know, you just start naming off a lot of the things that are in our everyday diet, you know, and those are things where my body was starting to react to them. Up until then, I'd been just, you know, it hadn't been a problem that I could see, but I think there comes a point when as we get older where the body starts to say, okay, you know what, I've taken enough of this, it's not good for me, and I'm going to let you know it.
Right.
So we need to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body's probably been telling you for a long time it wasn't feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes we just, you know, I'm like, I had those moments too, you know. And, you know, I've been kind of experimenting too with my, I don't want to say in a bad way, but I've been kind of like checking out, you know, what kind of foods are affecting me. You know, because my body's also going through a metamorphosis of change. It doesn't assimilate certain, you know, types of foods like it used to, you know, and having a form of the celiacs, you know, it certain foods just don't digest at all through your body. Your body just doesn't recognize it as food. So
right, yeah,
it just says, "What is that? I'm gonna store it or get rid of it," you know, and just, you know, you see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and food. Well, what do we say? Food is medicine, you know. And if you start to take bad medicine, you know, it affects your body badly. And yeah, maybe it's too part of the fact that we've been in this culture for so long and eating these processed foods for so long. From a child, you know, for me, you know, with the cereals and all the things that came along. I remember back in the day when, you know, that was the thing was, you know, it's fast, it's easy, you can grab it right off the shelf. You know, and you kind of have the attitude of you could trust what was on the shelf because it was USDA approved or it was, you know, FDA approved, and, you know, they wouldn't put something on there that was bad for you, but, you know,
right.
they do.
You
begin to learn that, you know, it's really all about the money, you know, or making making it profitable rather than making it healthy. So, and after a while, you know, it begins to build up in our systems, and I think we have a plethora of diseases and health issues because of that kind of a fast and easy mentality that we had about food. You know, we have to get back to growing our own. I don't want to, I'm just prefacing what our guest is probably going to say, I hope, but we need to get back to growing a lot of our own food and preparing it, even though it means, you know, we have to find ways to make it convenient in our modern life to care more for ourselves, you know, in that way.
Right. Well, you know, that's funny you say that. You know, it's to go back to the old ways. We have to learn old traditional ways of, you know, cultivating, you know, I mean, as people, as individuals, as, you know, forming a community. Because I find that, you know, these big corporations, I mean, even though I don't know what they're feeding their kids, to be honest with you, and I don't know what they're eating, but if you would think they were eating the things they're feeding us, I mean, why would you sell that stuff? Just come almost like they don't have a conscience, you know, about it. And that's what bothers me probably the most, that they don't care,
right.
You know. And that really, really bugs me. That, you know, that you could just look at someone's kid and not even give a rat's ass that, you know, that what they're feeding your kid is not good for them.
Exactly. You know, money doesn't have a conscience. It just,
it's greedy.
It's all about the bottom line. That's right. What profits the company? And, you know, you have to force them to see that it's not going to be profitable to continue to give us this kind of junk, you know, because we know it's junk and we're not going to buy it. So that's when it starts to change. And you see now, you know, the big thing is, oh, it's natural. It may be GMO-free or it's, you know, so on and so forth. So they're beginning to come around the idea, at least on the surface of it, that, you know, we are starting to make positive, conscious choices about the food we eat. I just would like to see it. I'd like to see it change so that there's actual subsidies for organic farming and, you know, that there's a price reduction because the thing is, you know, with most people being lower income now, you know, you have to think about your choices of, you know, do I have enough for groceries? Can I buy this kind of organic food that's more expensive or should I buy gas instead so I can go to work, you know? So I'd really like to see the price come down and to make it be a more mainstream kind of a thing, you know, to eat organic and to eat wholesome food instead of, you know, grabbing the prepared food that's right on the shelf that, you know, costs dollars less than that. So,
right.
You have to switch. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I have this theory, and you've heard me say this theory, that at one time the food source was relatively good at one point, a bit long ago. And, you know, the cycle of food, you know, is very long. You know, flour in itself takes like 15 years to run through the food chain to begin with. And I really believe that all the GMO factor foods have now entered completely into every aspect of and every corner of the earth. You know, either they've destroyed those foods that they've had in storage, and now they've replaced everything with GMOs, or just everything's just run out. Now it's all GMO. And that's why now you see a huge, 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 I mean, effects. People are affected constantly, you know. And I believe now that all the foods that we at one time didn't, you know, necessarily alter, those foods are all gone now. They don't exist anymore. They're no longer with us. I can't prove that. I don't know if that's true. But somewhere in my heart, it says that, you know, that stuff that was warehoused is no longer there now. It's all been replaced with GMO flour, GMO rice, you know, whatever you want to call it. You just put GMO on it.
Right.
And,
you know, that's right. You know, I can even, you know, I can kind of understand if I try to put myself in the point of view of why they would do that, why they would want food to be genetically modified. You know, genetically modifying something isn't necessarily a bad thing because look at corn. Corn is genetically modified from the Native Americans. They worked with it. They did it in natural. They didn't do it with chemicals, of course, but they worked with it and they bred it and they, you know, they,
right.
they created what it is today. You know, it used to be very, it used to be much different, but now, you know, they created corn out of that. But to there, I think the motivation behind it is that they don't want to see it's food insecurity. You know, having a solid food supply is security against maybe climate change or some form of economic terrorism or whatever you want to call it from another country where they try to cut off our supply of this or that. So their thinking is, well, you know, if we can increase the yield of this food, then we'll have stability and security in our economy that runs on, you know, the food that we produce. And, you know, so they're thinking of it in big terms like that, but they don't stop to think that, you know, the damage from the long-term damage, especially, they haven't been studied over periods of time, but the damage that happens when, you know, unexpected things that can occur when you put that kind of food into the food supply. And, you know, we're like living guinea pigs.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what else would you call us? Cattle, maybe.
Right.
You know, eat this. I mean, when you think about it, they're selling us what they want us to buy. You know, it's not like we have a choice. It's not like we have a choice in a set per se, but because you walk into Big Bear, not Big Bear, but Giant Eagle, you walk into any store, the shelves are stocked with the products that they want to entice you with the colors that they're throwing at you, the things that they're, you know, lighting up in your face. You know, it's a big market, very powerful market.
Sure.
You know, I remember when we were trying to put some of our products on the line there when we were at the restaurant, and how expensive the shelf life was to, you know, to buy, or how much you had to provide them. And, you know, even if we were an Ohio company, it was just one of those things that was really, you know, very interesting. It was an interesting way to learning curve, you know, way to learn about stuff like that.
Right. The market is designed for the large companies. It's not designed for the small distributors, you know. So it's... It mirrors the political landscape too, because there's the two big parties, and any other party that tries to get involved in politics is going to be squeezed out of the race, you know. So it's kind of like that with the major food producers too, you know, that they've got the market locked up, and you know they don't want. It's okay to be on the margins, but if you know, because there's going to always be people who will buy, you know, off the shelves and stuff, but they want that big chunk of middle America, you know, that watches all the commercials from McDonald's, or, you know, watches their, that's their meat and potatoes right there. You know, they won't give that up easily.
Yeah. A lot of countries are banning GMO, but you know, I always wonder, what are you banning? You know, are you banning unless you do the research, are you banning them from selling the products, the seeds or whatever? I mean, some countries are, you know, put a monetarium on it, you know, temporarily not doing stuff. Peru, for example, where I'm from, they just don't want Monsanto in there at all, because what happened was the crossbred of corns were being affected by the corn species that they were introducing to Peru, and it was deforming the natural historical corn that was growing there. And this happened in Mexico too. I'm not sure what Mexico is doing, but it's happening there. And so the corn that was ancestral corn is no longer ancestral anymore. It's been cannibalized, you know, by Monsanto, and they're growing. It's a species of plant. It's like a Venus flytrap. It's like a living. It's like, always reminds me of a Little Shop of Horrors, where the plants come to life. The plant comes to life and eats everybody. You know,
right? Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Earth is going to be self-sufficient in a way where this genetically modified food actually, you know, will transmute into, you know, protein eating plant. You know, I don't know. You know. Blows your mind sometimes.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Feed me.
Yeah. Let's take a break, and hopefully Corey will text me her phone number on my Facebook page there. Let me know which number is hers, since I'm looking here at the screen. If you're out there, Corey, you can hear me. I need to know which number you're calling from. Just send me a little text on Facebook. We'll be right back after the break.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com,
your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to withinsightsradio.com. Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with my co-host today, David Tucros, and we're flying here together. Katie's home. She's not feeling well. She's the other half of our, or the other portion of our show. I guess you would say that. So we're all here hanging out, and hopefully she can get some rest and be back with us. The topic today has been pretty much, you know, we're just talked a little bit about our weekend, then we kind of segueing into the new episode here with our friend Corey Brackett. She's going to be sharing with us a little bit about everything, what she does and where she's been. And last time, I think we had an interview with her, it was about almost 5 or 6 years ago on this show. So I want to bring her online here in a sec and just have her share with us where she's been and how she's doing and what's going on in her life, what's changed and what's improved, what's she's still working on. And with that, with no further ado, I'm going to bring Corey Brackett on. Okay, folks. Corey Brackett, welcome to the show.
Hi, Iggy. Hi, David. It's great to be here. Thank you so much. It's wonderful talking with you today.
Awesome. Welcome, welcome. Great. It's been a while.
It has. Yes. But I've been very happy to... Every now and then I get an update from you about what you're doing, and I'm like, oh, that's nice to hear from my friend from far away and see that you're up to good things.
That's good. Well, I keep an eye on you, too. You're on your Facebook there. I watch the things you do, and I'm always impressed. I'm always watching your little videos, too. You're always doing. You're a very, very advocate for a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this show. And,
yes, I was listening to you a few minutes before I got on the show, and I was hearing you talk about corn and Monsanto, and I applaud you for that. I wish that we would just give up doing those things. When I worked on my documentary, Sweet Remedy, I walked through a supermarket and looked at empty shelves as if there was nothing to eat, which there really isn't. But it seems that more and more often they're completely limiting us to what we can eat. You know, I was like, oh, well, I can't eat meat anymore because it's got hormones and bovine growth hormone and all this stuff. And then the fish have mercury in it, and now they're radiated from Fukushima, and they're fish farms. They've got antibiotics all through them, and they're sick, and, oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel kind of go, what do I do, you know?
Exactly. That's one of the things that I'm doing now. I'm building an aquaponics system, a greenhouse in aquaponics in my backyard. I'm very excited about that. I'm like, well, if there's no food left, I'll make it myself. Gosh darn it.
That's right. You know, I was talking to David before the show started. You know, we're part of the Nemenha, which is a Native American traditional organization for indigenous peoples. And, you know, one of our five mottos is, you know, healing the individuals, healing the families, healing communities, healing society, and healing the planet. So that's what we like.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's why we want to invite you to share with us your story, you know, and... kind of want you to take us back in time a little bit, because a lot of the listeners are probably the first time they get to hear your story. Because your story is, when I first read your story, it touched me, and it was like, wow. You know, but you had to find out the hard way, you know?
Yes, I did. I sure did. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, and that's part of the reason why I made my first documentary, Sweet Misery. But let me go back before that time to when I was getting ill, because it's a journey of illness and discovery is the way I look at it, and healing and discovery. At first I was just pretty much an unconscious consumer. I was a vegetarian, but I ate cheese at almost every meal and a lot of processed foods and Morningstar Farms and supermarket stuff, gunk. But I also consumed a 6-pack of diet soda a day. And
wow.
I'd been doing that for about 20 years.
Mm.
I always tried to lose weight. I could never lose weight. It was a nightmare. But eventually I had tingling in my hands and feet, paresthesia, and I began to get worse and worse and worse. And I went to a doctor who gave, the neurologist that they referred me to gave me an MRI, and she diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. And I was just aghast. I was horrified. I didn't know what to do. And I continued to go downhill to the point that I was in a wheelchair with double vision and slurred speech. It was horrible.
Wow.
And I began doing research, trying to just grasp at straws. My neurologist told me, once you're in a wheelchair, always in a wheelchair. And she also said to me when she was looking at my MRI films, she went, oh, that's interesting. That's the biggest lesion I've ever seen right in the center of your head. She had wonderful bedside manner.
Yeah.
to say the least. But I would just, I couldn't believe it. It felt like my life was ending. I was 34 at the time, and I thought, how in the world can I get out of this? And mainstream medicine wasn't giving me any answers other than, oh, well, dear, you're going to be sick, so get used to it. And be happy and don't exercise too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just determined to get better. So I did some research, a lot of research, and I began to change my diet. Of course, cutting out the diet soda, which I had actually done before I got sick, which can happen. It's called the full barrel effect, where you take your body can only take so many toxins. And once it gets to be too many, it begins to overflow and flood your system. And that's what happened to me, from what doctors have told me. But then I also kept looking. I did a shotgun approach to try to figure out what I could do to heal myself. And I took a lot of vitamins, A, B, E, and D and C, and I took some mushrooms, cordyceps, and lion's mane. I meditated. I took acupuncture and Chinese herbs, which I thought were very, very helpful. And I tried to connect to myself spiritually and mentally. And I did what my doctors did not, basically told me not to do. So I can't advocate this to anyone else, but I really do believe that it did wonders for me. Is I exercised as much as I could. And in the beginning, all I could do was lift my arms to my shoulders and every day keep working at it until I could lift them over my head. And then I pushed myself up in my wheelchair to the point that I was standing, but that took a while too. And then I was taking a couple steps, and then I was walking back and forth in my house. And eventually, I was walking 4 to 6 miles a day, and I was like, oh, hi, world, I'm back.
Awesome.
That's great.
That really taught me how to learn to listen to my body, which I really do believe is the key ingredient to everything. If you really learn to listen, I had she was a craniosacral person that I went to for a while when I had my bout with illness. She told me that if if your body has something wrong and they want you to, it wants you to stop, it will first whisper to you in a very soft voice. And you may not hear it, but if you don't listen to it, then it will go, hey, hello there, maybe you should help me. And then if you still don't listen, it will say, hey, wake up, come on, help me. And if you still don't listen to that, it will hit you over the head with a 2x4.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's where really? Most people listen.
Right. Yeah. You know, I can attest to that too, because for years I was feeling so bad and I didn't know why. You know, so many different symptoms I was experiencing, and now that I look back on it, and now that I've changed the way I eat and the way I think about myself and the world, you know, too. Along with that, it's just a world of difference, and I can see where my body is finally going, yes, okay, now, see, this is what I need, now we're talking, now you're listening, you know, because for a long time, like many people, you know, I think I'm the mind telling the body what it's going to do all the time, you know, but actually the body has a voice in that too, and you need to you're going to lend an ear or you're going to suffer for it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's in a lot of ways, it's our bodies are a microcosmic view of the whole planet.
Yes.
And what we're doing now with GMO foods and pesticides and how we treat our animals before slaughter and all of these different things that we're doing to the planet, Mother Nature is going to rebel, and we're not going to like it.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's all about living harmoniously with ourselves, each other, and all the beings on the earth and the earth itself.
Yep.
Very
that's for sure.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, now I watched a couple of videos. You were doing some advocacy there, and you're really getting out. I mean, you've grown a lot. You've done a lot of stuff since the last time we spoke on radio.
Yes, yeah. It's something that if you care and if you get out there in the world and you speak out, you're going to be heard. And it doesn't matter how many people hear you. If one person hears you and they are inspired to change or help the cause or whatever it is you're doing, that will mm-hmm. make a difference. I watched a video this morning. I can't remember what it was called. It was a foreign short film, but it was talking about how you never know what ripples will be a result of your action, of your good action. I mean, there could be ripples in the wrong way too, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
but the good ripples, they do spread far and wide, and it's wonderful. And you can do whatever you can do to make a difference. You can talk to your neighbor. You can talk to a buddy. You can talk to someone in the supermarket or leave a comment on a blog. You know, there are all sorts of ways that we can make a difference.
Yeah.
And
I know.
A lot of times we may not even know who we've touched in life, right?
Exactly.
We've had those conversations before, David. We don't
yes,
know.
Yes, we have. About being Johnny Appleseed, you know, you just kind of throw the apples out, or the seeds out, but you'll never see the apple trees or the apples, the people that enjoy them either, so... Mm-hmm. You do that in faith. You do that with just knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're going forward, and that's your satisfaction. That's the fulfillment that comes from it, is that you just keep doing what you're doing, and some people may listen to you, some may not. You know, just keep doing what you're supposed to.
It's a remarkable feeling, and it is much the people that respond to me and tell me that they've been changed by, you know, they're changing their diet or living in a different way. It is so wonderful to read those things, but I'm sure that there are so many other people that are out there who I will never know about and who they are. They're living their lives. They're, you know, walking with their children and you know, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying life. And that's important. That's something that our society has forgotten about, and we need to get that back, our connection to the planet and each other, and just being harmonious.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, Corey, can you give us some steps that we could start to take if somebody says, oh, you know I'm not eating right, I know this food's bad for me, but I don't know where to begin. What's one of the things that they can start with that might get them inspired to keep going?
It's difficult. I mean, if you're drinking diet soda and you want to get off of it, I would recommend gradual cutting down on it and then getting it out of your life. And if you want to have a little club soda with some lemon in it, that's what I drink, or water with lemon in it. And that's delicious, but it's hard because your taste buds are changed over time if you drink a lot of aspartame or if you consume a lot of aspartame. But in general for foods, I think it would help if you could wean yourself off of fast food restaurants and processed foods and learn to cook and to prepare your foods the old-fashioned way. You know, I mean, mothers go to PTA meetings and then they have, like, some event in their child's school and they bring a box of store-bought cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not quite the same because usually those store-bought processed cookies are lacking in love. And that's an ingredient that needs to come back into our food.
Right.
But
absolutely,
I would get rid of those things, embrace the time preparing the food, learn to deal with the food with love and respect and appreciation and thankfulness, and also to be able to begin to go to farmers markets. They're a great resource for a wide variety of different things. Oftentimes, they don't say that they're organic, but they are. If you talk to the farmer, you can find out, because it costs a lot of money for the certification. So sometimes farmers will use organic and good farming practices, but they won't have the label on them, especially in farmers markets. But begin to appreciate those things, and slowly, as you get off of processed foods and diet soda or aspartame, you will begin to get your taste buds back, and then you will enjoy chomping on a carrot. I mean, the other day I just picked a red bell pepper out of my garden and I chomped on it as a snack. And no, I'm not crazy.
That's where food comes from. Yeah, it comes from the ground, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from a store.
Yeah, it's... I know you were talking about the fish and how they're all, you know, contaminated with mercury and radiation, and you know, that's been a big concern, you know, for the world and different things, especially when, you know, companies are using krill and all kinds of different things that are really... they're healthy, but they're contaminated now. You got all this kind of stuff going into the food chain. The food chain's altered completely from where it was maybe 30 or 40 years ago.
The whole landscape is completely altered. And, you know, you never hear about Fukushima in the mainstream news, but that radiation is still coming along, and it's sweeping across this country, and it's all contaminating the Pacific Ocean, and it's a really sad thing to see.
Yeah. It is, actually, because, you know, I'm from Peru, so we eat a lot of fish and all that stuff.
Oh, yes.
Just comes right down through there. And, you know, so, I mean, it's really heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking to know that, you know, that man has found a great way of changing things that were actually very, very simple and very, very well thought out by a higher being, you know. And here we come and want to alter it and change it and think we can get more production out of it. and it be resistance to whatever. You know, things are supposed to get affected. Things are supposed to get diseased in order for it to keep become better in its own way, not necessarily by our, through our help. You know,
it's incredible hubris that mankind displays when they try to attempt to alter what Mother Nature has provided to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is incredible ego and conceit to be able to think they can do that and improve on what is already there in nature.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely right. Yeah.
Just crazy. Blows my mind.
Well, you know, nature, it's a living thing. It's alive, and it reacts to our actions and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I used to live in Alaska, and up there, you know, we have moose and we have wolves. And you know, the Department of Fish and Game would try to control the moose population and the wolf population, you know. And it would be end up being a big teeter-totter back and forth, you know. And I think that part of their motivation was that they wanted to create more moose for the tourists to come and shoot, you know, hunt so that they could get money. But, you know, it kind of comes down to that. But, you know, it's like, why can't we just leave nature alone? But one famous quote from the governor up there, Wally Hickel, at the time, he said, well, you know what, we just can't let nature run wild.
Well, it was doing a pretty good job of just that very thing.
That's it. You know, nature checks and balances itself. You look at any other population of beings or species outside of the human species, and they are balanced. They have their territories. They don't overgraze. You know, they don't. You know, and if something does come out of balance, there's another force that comes in to bring it back to balance. There was an excellent little short video piece that I saw on Facebook about bringing the wolves back to Yellowstone Park.
I was just thinking about that.
Yes. And how
that's
those wolves actually...
That's a great example.
You know, they actually ended up affecting the whole ecosystem, bringing rivers back, and it just was that one little element just meant so much back into the natural landscape. So I think about that when I think about, you know, the earthquakes that we have, the tsunamis, like the one in Japan that flooded that nuclear reactor where all that radiation comes from. Nature's pushing back, you know. It's not there to be dominated. Nature's our partner. We're sure to be partners with nature and be the caretakers and stewards of what we're given. So, you know, we're not acting right, so we're not going to be treated right.
Well, that comes down to, like, even in one-on-one interactions, if you push against somebody, what's the natural reaction? They will push back, or maybe punch you in the eye, depending on who you're doing it to. But if you embrace them, they have nothing to fight against, so they will embrace you back. And that's true of how we should handle nature and how we should try to handle our politicians, although sometimes they will still punch you in the face.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, I got a question for you, Corey. What's your take on vaccinations?
Oh, I'm not really in favor of those.
Okay, because I hear both sides of the story on this.
Well, the industry is trying very hard to create a positive impression of vaccines, a positive face, so everyone always goes to get their vaccines. And the thing that drives me crazy is that parents will say, oh, you're not vaccinating your child, and your child goes to school with my child, and he's not vaccinated, that's going to ruin everything. But the thing is if their child is vaccinated, and I don't believe that vaccinations actually prevent the diseases that they're talking about, often they will actually cause them, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But if they've got their child vaccinated and they believe it works, why would they care if you vaccinate your child or not? It's just live and let live. Don't try to insert your belief system over anybody else if they're not hurting you or hurting anybody else. That's a little bit of a different story. But the vaccination, you remember the measles outbreak in Disneyland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, it's recently come out that the the measles outbreak, they did not check to see if it was vaccine-induced measles, which there is something such as that. There are a lot of cases where kids who are vaccinated with the MMR vaccine get the measles. But they have a test for that, but they did not test the people in Disneyland for that versus natural, naturally occurring measles. So there's no way of knowing for sure, but I believe that most of the children, if not all, were vaccinated.
Okay.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, mm-hmm. but what the mainstream media will just spew forth about that whole event is that it's got to be all these unvaccinated children that it's causing this great, horrible epidemic. No, it's not. It doesn't work. When you look at the Gardasil vaccine in Texas, that the governor trying to get it mandated in the state, and they were pushing it for boys. They don't. Do you have a cervix, Iggy?
Not that flat one. That's my check.
I don't think do, but
hold on.
What they were trying to do. They were trying to foist it on boys. And also, the idea that they would push this vaccine on non-sexually active pubescent girls is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I know here in Columbus, Ohio, there was like a big push for the measles, the shots for that. Mm-hmm. And there's a big fight because, you know, they're almost threatening that if you don't vaccinate your child won't be able to go to school.
Yeah, they're doing that now. A lot of these things are just kind of appalling. And, you know, it can affect you for the rest of your life. There's The Virus and the Vaccine is a wonderful book. It charts, I think it's the MMR vaccine, I believe. I can't remember. It was a long time ago that I read it. But it was a live monkey vaccine. And not a live monkey, but a live monkey virus vaccine.
Okay.
And all of the vaccines had the SM40 virus in them by accident that were from these live monkey viruses that they were using for the vaccine. And that will cause cancer in like 50 years. And everyone got vaccinated with that. I did. You probably did. Almost everybody, when they were children in like 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. So there are all of these people that are now at high risk for cancer, and the cancer rates are skyrocketing. And there are a lot of other factors too with that, but it's just horrifying when you think of it. And they're still pushing vaccines, but they really don't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the flu vaccine, a lot of people end up getting the flu after they get the flu vaccine.
I've never had the flu vaccine, and you know, I walk around, and you know, people are like, "Oh, you know, I've got the vaccine, and you know, now I'm protected, but I don't feel so good." You know, you know,
there's empirical evidence that can be very telling.
I don't trust it anyway. When I'm always told what I, you know, you have to get this, do this and that. I want to always question why that is. For one, and I just, you know, if I feel good and I know my, you know, my body, and if I feel that my immune system is strong, I actually think that the flu vaccine can weaken the immune system over time.
Yes, and I heard the other day that we put 38 vaccines in our children. From birth to maybe 12 years old or something. I mean, it's...
Wow.
When I was growing up, we had like 3, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think about that, just that the fact of that alone, we're stripping our children of the ability to have the childhood, normal childhood diseases, which build their immunity. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't develop that immune immune system, so they can be knocked flat on their butts very quickly when they get to be adults.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
We're so obsessed with antibacterial this and that, you know, when the best thing for our kids is to go out and play in the dirt, you know?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It is fine to let your kids get dirty. And the antibacterial soap takes a lot of the good bacteria off of your skin in addition to the bad bacteria. So we're killing ourselves with sterility. It's like that movie with Sylvester Stallone many years ago. I forget what it was called. It might have been Total Recall, but I can't remember. That might have been Arnold Schwarzenegger. But it was Sylvester Stallone, and he was he met a girl, and they were getting romantic, and they were about ready to go into the bedroom, and then they put their virtual reality headsets on, and they experienced intercourse without touching. We've gotten to that point in this society where we're just afraid of everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's, you know, in Peru we have a little ceremony we do, you know, in the mountains they will actually do an Earth Mother ceremony where they actually eat some dirt through the seasons like to help build your flora and your body.
Uh-huh.
It's a Pachamama ceremony, and you take the dirt. They do it with the kids, so they helps their flora. Because, you know, if you travel 150 miles from any location you're from, you know, it affects your flora. But here's the problem. Here in the United States, our flora is so affected, you know, because the dirt's affected. Our dirt's contaminated. You know, we put fertilizers on the grass. We put fertilizers on the food. So we have to actually put minerals back into the soil in order for it to be good so we can grow another crop. We've depleted. I mean, the soil in the United States has been really ransacked and been raped of its natural, you know, ability to actually grow anything.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about that. No one really mentions that. They always talk about the GMO factors, blah, blah, blah. But our soil is contaminated. One of the biggest things that we export in this country is topsoil that comes down the Mississippi Valley, and it goes into, you know, right at the end of the mouth there, and we sell our natural resource of dirt to the world.
We're so smart, aren't we?
Have
you heard of earthing? I mean, grounding?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That I firmly believe in. I don't know if you've had anyone in your show or you've talked about that, but for anyone who doesn't know what it is, you basically take your shoes off and your socks off and you stand on the earth or on concrete. That will work too. Or you can sit outside and you're getting vitamin D from the sun and you're grounding and where you're contacting the electromagnetic forces of the earth. And it is so healing and so wonderful.
Yeah.
And something we've lost so much of that in our modern culture, the connection with nature. You know, we live virtually so much and we live so fast, for one thing, that we don't take time to slow down and actually experience these moments going past us and begin to reconnect with the earth, ourselves, our community. You know, we're all in our little metal boxes going to work, you know, down the highway, trying to get there first. And, you know, we're in our little cubes at work under the fluorescent light and, you know, a lot of people play video games and they're in their virtual world, you know, instead of, there's a beautiful healing world just outside your door that's waiting to connect with you if you'll just slow down and breathe and take your shoes off.
Yes, I can't agree with you more. I used to love to, I still do, I love to sit out on my porch when the weather's nice. It's getting nice out here again. I'm in Tucson, and now it's getting to be like spring. I'm not trying to stick it to anybody who's living in the Northeast or in Ohio, because I know that's not quite the same for you all. There you jump off your porch into the snow, although I know the mayor of Boston didn't condone that behavior. But
we call it snowing. That's called snowing.
Snowing. Oh, there's a term.
That's funny.
But but I would sit out on my porch, and a couple of summers ago, I had the distinct privilege of watching a bird's nest that was up in a tree in my neighbor's yard, and there were a couple of eggs that were in there, and a mother sitting on the nest every day, and then the father would come and would sit on it for a while, and eventually there were little baby birds there squawking away, and they were beautiful to watch. And then there, by the time there was a teenager bird in the nest, the mother helped teach it to fly. It was wonderful to watch. But that was better than watching SpongeBob on television, by far.
Yeah, that's right.
It does not get boring at all looking at nature and the wonders of it.
There's a timelessness, too, to connecting with nature, because that's in our genes, it's in our ancestry, it's in the very fiber of our beings to be in nature and be connected with that. And this artificial lifestyle that we live now, with, you know, I call it artificial reality, because we really are just creating our own version of everything, and it's disconnected us terribly from what's really happening. And that's why these things like GMOs, like, you know, all the fracking and everything else that's going on, just kind of passes over people's heads because they're not connected with it. They don't associate, you know, the fact that their drinking water is coming out of the ground that could be contaminated, or, you know, the meat and stuff that they're buying at the supermarket is affected by what happens halfway across the world. So, you know, we do need that connection again, and I'm glad some of us are waking up, but there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Yes, yes, we're completely getting bombarded with insults to our bodies and our spirits, both. I mean, that happens every day that we walk on this planet. The air we breathe is polluted. The food we're eating is very often highly toxic. The fluorescent lights that you mentioned earlier, they're harmful to us. The cell phones that we use all the time and have against our ear, there was an early study in Sweden that was done that showed that the side of the head where the cell phone was used had a much higher rate of brain tumor. It was definitely a risk. And I'm not suggesting that everyone go out and throw their cell phones into the toilet or anything like that, although all I have is a track phone, which my cousin lovingly referred to as an old lady phone. But it's all these onslaughts. It's horrible. I remember seeing a commercial that came out a few years ago where they were showing this guy who was in, like, in front of the Eiffel Tower, and then in front of a beautiful beach in California, and then in front of a French cafe, and all these things. And in every single image, he was looking down at his cell phone. And I was like, well, you're missing out on life. Why do you have to go and visit a friend of yours and talk with them for 5 minutes, and then someone calls you and you say, oh, excuse me, I got to take this? Sure. I mean, I understand the idea of why you would feel like you need to take it, but why does that person have the right to intrude upon your meeting with your friend or your relative or whatever? It doesn't make any sense. I can't wait until we go to weddings and we see the bride saying, excuse me a minute.
Yeah.
Taking her phone call.
I do. I think they're trying to make us telepathic. I don't know. I'm not sure.
With cell phones?
I don't know.
Well, the thing with cell phones is that they have electromagnetic radiation that come off of them. So that kind of screws up your brain. You know, it kind of nukes your brain, microwaves it in a lot of ways. So you're less likely to be empathic or intuitive than if you weren't on the cell phone.
And it gives you big thumbs.
So they might be trying that given their warp logic, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think that I think it almost is going to take a kind of a collapse of the world that we have for us, the people, to really reconnect with one another and go, oh, you know what, I guess we better learn to grow our own food. I guess we better learn to live together in community. I guess we better learn to find ways to make the things that we bought at the store and, you know, we took all this, you know, for granted for so long, and we're such, you know, consumers that we didn't learn the old ways, you know. And I hope it doesn't come to that kind of a dramatic end, but, you know, it almost would take that much to get us unaddicted to this way of life that we've adopted. So,
unfortunately, I agree. We've gotten to the point that we're just so enamored with our very convenient and comfortable and stressful existences that we do not see the way to be able to breathe again and enjoy life and, you know, look around you and appreciate what you have around you. Not by when I'm saying appreciate what you have around you, I'm not talking about your electronics and your car and any of that stuff. I'm talking about the tree that's in front of your house, or
right,
the sun streaming through your window, or the bird being born, or what have you. I mean, all of those, or your baby smiling, all of these things are hugely important, and we've forgotten about them. But I think that, unfortunately, what's going to happen with the planet is that it's kind of like a teenager or a very young person, in that it's not going to understand that we need to make a change fully until it's hit over the head by a 2x4, like I was saying earlier, that it's going to take, I think, some sort of catastrophic situation. I don't want to say that because I don't want that to happen, but people are waking up, and that's the wonderful thing, that I'm seeing more and more people are going to farmers markets. They're buying greenhouses left and right. They're doing these things. They're helping their neighbors. They're, you know, thinking about things that they can do to help the universe other than just recycling, although that would help to diminish the growth rate of that island midland in the Pacific Ocean, I think it is, that is made out of refuse.
Right.
Right.
Well, we, on the show, we have from time to time, and Iggy's a big proponent of this one, is healthy limits and boundaries. You know, learning to balance life is a real art anymore, you know, where you can say, okay, well, you know, on one hand, I've got to go to work and I've got to do this, but on the other hand, I've got this other time here that I can spend in this way that re-energizes me, and it's not just I'm sitting in front of the TV all drained of energy, or, you know, I can't sleep at night because I'm so stressed out. It's finding ways to healthily balance the life we're living, and to put those limits and boundaries and say, you know what, after 7 o'clock, I don't take calls, I don't take texts, I don't go down Facebook, I don't, you know, that's my time for me, my family, whatever, you know, just start to draw those lines in our lives that get so crossed over so many times, you know. And and one thing that I'm big on is taking your power back and really not giving away yourself to this situation or this person or this, you know, when we talk about politics especially, you know, we're all frustrated with the fact that nothing gets done, but, you know, there's several thousand legislatures in Washington, D.C., and there's millions of us, you know. We outnumber them greatly, and we're letting them pull our strings when we really should be pulling theirs, because they're our servants there. So,
yeah, that's what politicians and the powers that be really work on, keeping us in line through fear. We're all afraid, so we're scattered and, you know, disconnected and non-communicative. And
right.
So fear is a big one, but they also are terrified that will learn that secret that you just mentioned, that there are so many more of us than there are of them.
Right. And that crosses all political lines. It doesn't matter if I'm Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever. The fact is, you know, if we're going to call ourselves Americans or Western or people that want to live under a free government of the people, by the people, and so on, you know, we should have representatives who reflect our interests, not their own. They shouldn't have corporate masters. They should be asking us constantly, well, what do you guys think? What do you want? You know, how can I serve you better? And so on and so forth. But, you know, that's one of the things I'm big on, is taking power back. So I think that, you know, those kind of things we're waking up to, like you said. It's going to be a painful awakening for some folks, but that's kind of the reason why I'm here, and a lot of other people that are in our community, spiritual, metaphysical community, are here. We're here to be healers. We're here to show, you know, that there is another way of life, that there's another way of looking at the world, there's another way of being here on Earth that isn't fear-based, that isn't consumer-based, that's based upon ways of respect for one another, ways of connecting around the world. You know, we've got wonderful tools here with the Internet and the technology we were just talking about that could be turned into making this a world of connected people, you know, and the information that could come across, you know, that could liberate us, actually. But we have to take that back for ourselves. We really can't just be bystanders in our own lives anymore.
Absolutely. That is so well put. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that we can take our power back. We no longer need to feel like we just have to go with the status quo, because the status quo isn't working. The way I look at America and the world, actually, is I have this image of, well, this is America right now, or this is the world. It's of the Titanic with her butt sticking up in the air and the band playing on the deck.
Okay.
Yes.
That's like what we're doing. We're about ready to sink, but we're still playing the band and dancing on the deck as if nothing is wrong.
You know, Corey, that's so funny that you mentioned that, because I wrote a book recently, and in that book I have a part of that where it tells that almost that exact story about what you just described about how...
You're kidding.
You know, no, it's about how, you know, we're living in a world, in a society that is like the Titanic, you know, and the iceberg's already hit, and, you know, some people are still partying in the party room, and some folks are heading a little bit towards the lifeboats, but it's like, you know, we have to decide, you know, what we're going to do now that the boat is sinking. How are we going to live with one another? You know, how are we going to help one another? Are we going to just party our way until we, you know, until our water's above our heads?
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful book. I haven't read it, honestly. I'm not plagiarizing you on purpose.
No, but
yeah, that's a great book.
I think I'd like to send you a copy of it then.
I would love a copy. Yes, I would adore that.
Great. Well, I'll get to you. Get with Iggy, and we'll get a copy out to you then, for sure.
We'll get it to you.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick
for being on our show. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, guys.
It's always my pleasure, and it's so lovely talking with both of you. You're so much. You're so connected and advanced in your thinking, and generous in your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings, and it's just very wonderful what you're doing.
Good. Absolutely. Thank you. Really appreciate you. But hold on, because I want you to give us some closing thoughts at the end. We're going to go take a little break real quick, okay?
Okay.
Right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome back to With Insights. I hope you're enjoying our interview with Corey Brackett from Sweet Remedy Radio. She's sharing with us her life story and her look on life and the things she's doing to change it from coming from a place of being in a suffering place in her life. And It's just been fun. I've been catching myself just sitting back listening and just kind of being like one of our, you know, our guests just chilling and listening to you both talk. I've been really enjoying it. So, but I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, close out and share any final thoughts that you may have and where people can find you and how you can promote, you know, this kind of information to the world. I think we're all on the same team when I read this stuff.
I feel privileged to be a part of your team, part of this team. It's wonderful.
Awesome.
My website where people can go to learn more information, but I do a radio show once a month for right now. That's going to be increasing in the near months, but my website is sweetremedyradio.com. That's sweetremedyradio.com. It's all one word, no dashes or anything. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's capital C, lowercase O-R-I, capital B, lowercase R-A-C-K-E-T-T. And I have Facebook, too, but I can never remember what my name is on there. You know it, Iggy.
Yeah, I think it's Corey Brackett.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's...
yeah, it's Corey Brackett on Facebook. That's CORIBRACKETT. But those are the three places where you can reach me at. I'd love to hear from any of you about any of your thoughts about what we talked about today or any other thoughts that you might have. But I think that in closing, I would just say to really learn to trust yourself and trust your body. Learn to listen to your body. And be able to look around you and not be drawn in by the television or commercials or the mainstream media and the blabber that they have. I was looking up some of the new news on aspartame this morning, and I was reading about aspartame, and there were little, you know how they have the little articles that are underneath an article saying you can read about this? It was
right.
Like top celebrities that are now fat or woman who's in a death row somewhere has a gonzo last meal. I'm like, they're so distracting. But don't allow yourself, please, everyone, don't allow yourself to be distracted into just being a mindless eater, a useless eater, which is what, I forget who said that, but it was somebody quite famous talking about depopulation and so forth. I think it was in Hitler's time, but I'm not positive. But it is so important to just trust yourself and your instincts and who you are and get in touch with who you are and your environment in a way that is not on a timetable and a clock. And you can spend, even if it's just 5 minutes, meditating or looking at the world in a way that's not dictated by pop culture, that will give you a much clearer sense of what's going on. I was watching an episode of Taxi the other night, if you can believe it, from the 70s. And even with sitcoms, they're mostly kind of stupid now. Or if they're kind of on the smart side, they're kind of about dumb topics. Whereas Taxi at least had some elements of wisdom in there occasionally, even though it was a sitcom. And I didn't mind the laugh track, because nowadays you just have these canned laughter things. And you... there's no need to get lost in the inanity, the noise of the world and pop culture and what they're trying to drive us into. We don't have to be distracted. That is kind of a failure when you allow yourself to do what they want you, to look where they want you to look and do what they want you to do. We're so much more than that.
Powerful.
That's
thank
right.
you.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for being.
Go ahead, David. No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I'd like to
to just kind of echo that back and say that, you know, we don't have to follow the script of eating what they want us to eat and looking at what they want us to look at and thinking the way they want us to think, because we are all individuals. We all have something to offer, you know, and we need to look across the labels that they put on us, that they want us to see, you know, black, white, Republican, Democrat, Christian, Jew, or whatever, you know, gay, straight. And we need to see people. We need to see our brothers and sisters, because we are all related, believe it or not. You know, when we go back far enough, we're all cousins. Why should we treat one another like enemies, like strangers, when we have the same blood, the same breath, and the same ancestry? We need to see beyond what the strings that are used to pull us apart and pull ourselves together and say, no, we're better than that. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Exactly. We all have we all have something to give to the world, like you said. And one gesture of kindness or an inspiring word to other people or one person, it can cause so many ripples that you wouldn't believe the power that you have. You have so much power.
That's right.
We all have the gift to make a difference.
Very good.
Yes, we do.
I love having
you on. Go ahead.
I love being here. It's great talking with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm being a listener right now.
But like we say, it's good to be here.
It's good to be here, that's for sure.
And I guess I could say this on the radio, that I'll have you on after I get the book, and we can talk about that on my show.
Wonderful. I would love that. I would definitely love that.
Excellent. She's a good interviewer, David. She'll ask you those tough questions.
That's right. We put you in the hot seat.
I stop joking when I'm on the radio giving an interview doing an interview rather than giving one. No, that's not true. I'm a softy.
Yeah, I remember our interview when you interviewed us back with Rose and I, my sister Rosa, when she's on our show.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Very good. Well, Corey, I want to say thank you for being on with us. Don't be surprised if I call you and I say, hey, want to come back on, share with us again.
I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Yeah, because I like all the information you share and the love and the heart that you display to the world. You know, I saw that your book is a DVD as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a whole...
Are you talking about which one? You're talking about
The Shadows
or Sweet Misery?
No. Sweet Misery.
Oh, Sweet Misery has always been a documentary.
Yeah, I didn't know it was actually a documentary. I thought it was a book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's a documentary.
Because I have your other book, Through the Shadows.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
we
I have that one.
About that.
Right. So, yeah, that's cool.
Is there a link to that documentary? Is it available on YouTube, for instance, or how can we get that?
You can get it on by going to my website, sweetremedyradio.com, or you can get it at Amazon, too. It's available there.
Perfect.
You can watch it on YouTube, but please go to Cinedigm to watch it. You can watch it for free if you want to watch it for free. But it is a sanctioned video from me, not one that somebody just put up there on YouTube without my knowledge.
Okay.
I mean, they I've taken them down a couple times, but they keep sprouting up like weeds. And I'm glad that the information is getting out there, but, you know, that the Cinedigm viewing is done by my European distributor, and then I get maybe 5 cents when you watch it through ads.
Sure, sure,
sure. So,
absolutely.
I'm not a big fan of ads. I think you know that, but everybody's got to pay the bills. And
that's right.
That one's for free, but it's sanctioned.
Yeah. Yep. The information's there, but your time's priced.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my sister. We will let you go back to Tucson, Arizona, and enjoy your probably a little bit warmer than here.
Yeah, just a little. I think it's 78 degrees
here today. Ooh,
Nikki. Road trip. Road trip. Yeah, I guess we're going to Tucson. If I get my truck out of the snow. I was stuck today.
Oh, no. How many feet do you have?
Oh, how many did we get, David? It's quite a... It's got to be a foot of snow.
Well,
out
you
there.
Know, we got... Yeah, we got... But, you know, it turned to slush, and then it froze, and then people got... You know, they got plowed in, so it's been kind of a struggle, you know.
Oh,
so.
That sounds like a nightmare. Are roofs collapsing?
Not that I know.
Not really. Not at that point, but some of our spirits are collapsing.
Yeah, I've seen a friend of mine posted a video on Facebook where a woman gets out of her car after she, you know, came home from work, and she's having to, like, scooch herself sideways to get between the car and the snowbank on her left. And then she passes by a snowman, and she takes her briefcase, and bang, she knocks the head right off the snowman. And I guess some people are beginning to feel a little worn out with all of this snow.
Time to go sledding.
Yeah. That's it. Be a kid again.
That's right.
Yes. But I also got a image this morning of my cousin who had a baby. Her baby is sitting in a snowbank, just looking out at the camera, kind of like, why did you put me in the snow, Mommy? It's cold.
Yeah.
I don't like this white stuff. But she she looked awfully bundled up and cute. So there is some wonderment to be had, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
I think it snowed, what, for a 24-hour period, at least.
Oh,
Dave and I,
kidding.
We were the first people to get to see the snow. It was like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Did you go outside?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Walk the dogs and everything. It's been one of those, it's like, you know, it'll melt all the way, and then it'll get cold again, and then it will get warm and melt, and then it'll get cold. So, you know, I make the joke that Mother Nature is going through menopause, but, you know, that's just... I love Mother Nature. Don't get me wrong, Mom.
Yeah, this is our big hit. This is our big hit of snow because they've been threatening us for a while, but I knew this one was going to be big, and it was pretty.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Yep.
Yeah, my mother, she lives in New England, and I keep hearing from her. It's like she's saying, "Oh, there's a storm coming on Thursday, and there'll be another one on Sunday." Oh. And then Sunday comes around, and she goes, oh, we're in for it again on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
It, like, never ends.
It makes me wonder why I'm still here.
Oh, you're here for a good reason.
Why am I in Ohio, of all places?
Well, that I can't answer for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I'm not in Ohio. But I'm sure there's some very good reasons that you and everyone listening and everyone in your life would know they would be very sad.
Oh.
You're wondering why don't I go to Albuquerque or Tucson or Mexico?
Right.
Or Peru.
Back to Peru, yeah.
Yeah, that
it's
would
warmer
be
there, that's for sure. We're going in June. So if you want to go to Peru with us,
awesome.
Let me know.
I will try to save my pennies.
Yeah.
But I think
cheap.
It'll take more than saving my pennies until June.
Yeah. We go every year, so. All right. This has been fun. I've really enjoyed it. I'll bring you back on another time. But we're going to say good night. We're going to let you go back to the sun, the warm 78-degree weather.
Okay.
You,
thank you very much. And thank you for not strangling me through the phone when I told you how hot it was.
No, I was just picturing the heat. Like, I was like,
Oh, good. You were imagining it. So your imagination has power, and that probably warmed you up like a warm, hot cup of cocoa.
That's right.
we'll be knocking on your door next week. I don't know.
I'll get the spare bedroom ready.
All right. Cool. Excellent. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you both very much, and have a wonderful evening yourself.
Bless you. Thank you.
That was awesome. It was hard to disconnect with her. I was like, I would have kept talking. You know, our time's limited on the show, but, you know, it's like, I really enjoy talking with her and her sharing her thoughts, and then it gets real playful at the end. That's what I like about her. I enjoy that.
No, you know, she's just one of those people where you can just feel her warmth and her love coming across in her voice and her manner. You know that, you know, she's a caring, connected person. So thank you for introducing me to her, and I'll get a copy of my book off to her soon, and we'll be talking more about that and many other things.
Yeah. She brings a lot of light to the world. I was happy to hear that she's actually going to be doing her own, you know, growing her own food. She's going to be creating some type of structure, a pond structure to have fish in, from my understanding. It's neat to hear her and where she's gone, where she's been, and how she's progressed in the last 6 years. Last time I spoke. I mean, I've spoken to her briefly since then, but to actually have an interview with her, and she's just, and just looking at her pictures, she's really, you know, her physically has just gotten better. She looks great. I mean, she looked better. She looked good 6 years ago too. Now she looks even greater, you know. So it's just a testament to her will to change and to heal and to be love and to be accept the love too, you know, and raising that vibration. I'm proud to call her friend. You know, I'm proud that you got to meet her. She's a good person. I really enjoy her.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Iggy. And thank you, all of our listeners tonight.
Yeah. Anything you want to close with, brother?
You know, really, no. I think that our show spoke for itself. I just want to encourage everyone to read labels, or, you know, to start thinking more positively and more actively about what we put in our bodies, what we put in our minds, too, you know, and be a little more selective, a little more discerning in the choices we make, speaking for myself as well, you know, and just keep raising hope, keep raising love, and keep our minds moving forward, our bodies.
Excellent. All right. Tomorrow, our show is Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. Tomorrow we have a guest. Of course, I don't have the guest's name popped up in front of me, but tune in at 11:30 for that show. And then on Wednesday we have Rebecca Johnson. She'll be debuting her show at 8 p.m. She'll be talking to us about metaphysical stuff and sharing with us. And then on Thursday we have Spontaneous Spirit Talk with Panda and Lion. They'll be sharing, or David and Iggy, whoever shows up that day. It's because it's spontaneous and it's open to anybody. And then at 9 p.m. we have Thursday, it's Throwback Thursday, where we take an episode that we had in the past and we play it again, and you get to listen to it. Something from 2008, from 2015, which is, it'll be random. It'll be like spinning the wheel. And then we go to Friday, and then we have Mark Matheny. He's Mark the Rabbit Hole. He's our, how would you call him, our conspirator, per se. Our cryptozoologist, you know. He shares all the weirdness, you know, that the world has out there to share with us, and he tries to debunk it or show it. And then we go down the hole a little bit further with Todd Smith and Mud Toe Sasquatch at midnight. And I do believe we may have some special guests next week, right, David?
We may, yes. I don't know if I want to let the cat out of the bag quite yet, but we might be having someone on who is a debunker, someone who has set out to, you know, disprove some of the things that that we have seen and, you know, and experienced in our metaphysical world. And, you know, I think we need a healthy dose of that sometimes, somebody to come and shed light in where we may not want to look. But it's going to be an interesting, I think it could be a very interesting show.
Good. And with that, I want to say ho'oponopono, much love, peace, joy, and I'll see everybody tomorrow in the afternoon.
Peace between
us. All right. Peace out.